And he loves people, and he's got a big heart. That's how I'd summarize him. So, Andy, your subject this evening is the image in us all. So a big round of applause for Andy as he comes out.
That sounded like I was going to do a round of questions, your topic tonight. Thank you for coming out on such a beautiful spring evening. And it's great that you're here. We'll see you again tomorrow, hopefully. Bring a friend. Have you enjoyed... Oh, it's gone. Keep it up. That's good, that. Have you enjoyed speaking about the art? I think me and Tim are going to become art critics. I think we fancied ourselves as being pretty pretty good at analysing that bit of art. Ronald Reagan gave a speech. Well, he was practising for his speech. This was at the height of the Cold War in the early 80s. And he was joshing around with his sound crew, the engineers on the sound check, and he riffed on his own speech. And he said this: "My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes." He was just messing about. But it was recorded, and the recording was leaked. And the Russians were none too happy, as you can imagine. Well, he gave another speech some years later to Congress. And that's the one I just want to focus on, a little quote from that, where he said, "Yes, we will have our differences, but let's always remember what unites us far outweighs whatever divides us." And I think the theme for this week is a really powerful one, because there are so many things that could be talked about that divide us, and yet there are far many more things that unite us and bring us together than tear us apart. So this week is all about those things we have in common, the things that we share, that unite us and make us human. The image of God is something that we all share. I don't know if you've ever thought about the image of God, but it is, for those who look at the Bible, an absolutely foundational concept for understanding our significance and our purpose. What are we doing here? Understanding how we are in God's image helps us to see the basis for our dignity and the purpose for our lives. And it's right there in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, that God announces that we are made in the image of God. It's there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Let me read it to you. "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." And we can see it. We see something of the character of God, his goodness, his love, all around us in the people we meet every single day. We watch a mother with her child and we see that tenderness. It's the image of God. We see that same mother with her patience, loving a wayward child, the image of God. We see the kindness of a stranger outside Lidl, buying a coffee and a sandwich for a homeless person, the image of God. We see the compassion and the indignation of the person speaking out for what's right or defending the abused or the marginalized, the image of God. It's all around us. Every day we see in each other little reflections of the image of God. One of my favorite genres of TV is gritty crime dramas. And I'd be interested if you agree with me, totally the best of all gritty crime dramas ever is, or was, because it's now finished. You obviously don't like that type of TV. Happy Valley. Wow. Set in West Yorkshire, which is where I kind of hailed from. It's three series, definitely worth watching on ITV. And the hero, heroine of the story is Sergeant Catherine Kaywood, who's just an incredible character played by an incredibly good actress. And there's one moment, she's a cop. She's very fair, she's very down to earth. She's got a big heart of love. She cares for her grandson because her daughter was murdered. She's had all kinds of mess in her life. But there's one moment in the first series, I think, and she's looking after this young woman who's got a lot of problems, and they're out on the town in Halifax, and they've drunk a lot, and this young woman is sat in the gutter. I think she's puked because she's drunk too much. And she looks up at Sergeant Kaywood, who's kind of haloed with the street lights in the drizzle of a Halifax back street. And she says to this police officer, Sergeant Kaywood, "You're just like God, you are." And I remember thinking at the time, oh, I don't like that. That's a bit blasphemous for a Christian to listen to that. But as I thought about it, I thought, no, that's exactly right. This incredibly kind and compassionate policewoman who just pours out her life for this young woman is reflecting the image of God for this young woman. So if we're made in God's image, then I want to suggest firstly that people are extraordinary. Our worth is connected to our Creator. And if God is of great and inestimable worth, then you and I, beings made in His image, must be of great value too. Our dignity is present in creation. But it also continues after what the Bible describes as our fall into sin. We carry God's image still. One of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis appears in his book, The Weight of Glory, and he says these words: "There are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal. The people you see every day, even the ones to whom you give little regard, are ones that are going to live forever. Even the most obscure person is not ordinary in God's eyes. We are all extraordinarily valuable. You are extraordinarily valuable." The Bible deeply affirms this dignity of you and I and everyone in this world. And that's why we bother to launch lifeboats into raging seas to rescue a floundering boat full of people. That's why it matters deeply how we respond to those escaping war and persecution in other countries. That's why it matters how we treat those who are aged or vulnerable in our society. We are all intrinsically valuable. Whatever our ethnicity, gender, age, sexuality, religion, we have to conclude people are worth saving. All are worth bothering about. No one has no value. It's something we just know instinctively. It's something that can't be explained satisfactorily by any other worldview or philosophy. People are extraordinary. I don't know if you remember Terminator 2, going back a bit now for our movie allusions, but there's that moment in Terminator 2 where the young John Connor, just a young boy, is going around with the Terminator. And he says to the Terminator, "You just can't go around killing people." And the Terminator says, "Why?" And John Connor says, "What do you mean, why? Because you can't." And the Terminator says, "Why?" And John Connor says, "Because you just can't. Okay, trust me on this." And there's something hard to explain and yet absolutely clear to us all that there is that innate and that absolutely vital aspect of humanity that is valuable. So I want to ask this question. If we are made in God's image, then why would people mistreat other people made in the image of God? The Bible describes us as this mysterious combination of good and bad. I can see it in the picture there. I notice that one hand is darkened and defaced, deformed. One hand is bright and funky and appealing. One foot, bright and colourful. One dark. We're able to reflect something good because we are in God's image, and yet we're capable of the deepest of depravity. It's mysterious, isn't it? And it puzzles us. We're made in the image of God, but upon the slightest scratch, we're able to display the very image of the devil himself. The image of God has been spoiled, defaced, but not erased. The mother who tenderly nurses her child is well capable of staggeringly bitter thoughts and angry words about her neighbour, that kind stranger who was earlier helping a homeless man outside Aldi, can easily show his ugly dishonesty by cheating on his work expenses. And that passionate human rights activist out for social justice, she decides one day to be unfaithful to her partner. Do you find that strange dilemma in your own life as well? It's as if we are treacherously committed to undermining and removing any trace of God, the God who made us, and replacing him with anything else. But it never works, and it never satisfies, and it never fits with who deep down we know we are and who we know we should be. It's as if we seem determined to deny and destroy the relationship with God that we were made to enjoy. We find ourselves estranged and disconnected from the God who made us to enjoy him. So is there an answer? Yes. Thankfully, yes, there is. And it's God who has taken steps to restore all that we have spoiled. In the person of Jesus, God himself came into this world as one of us, in the likeness of humanity, but fully God. The New Testament puts it like this: the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God and the exact representation of his being. You see, when Jesus arrived amongst us, he perfectly revealed God's image in human form. He only ever reflected God's goodness and love. He was God. We only reflect the image of God in part as we were made by him, but Jesus is God and was God and always perfectly displayed God to the world. The image wasn't spoilt in him as it is in us, and he had a mission to restore us back to God, to pay for our treachery and disloyalty, to carry the shame, the guilt of our rebellion, and pay for it completely by his death on the cross as he died in our place. His mission, to make you new, so that you can be what God made you to be, someone who knows him and who shows him to the world. His mission, to bring you, to bring me into a restored relationship. He came to fix you. Is that something you need? Is that something you want? He is able. He is willing. What about you? Thank you.
Thanks, Andy, very much indeed. On the tables.